Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Day is this Wednesday morning. Good Wednesday morning. I'm feeling a little bit intolerant here this morning, so I pulled an old T-shirt out of the file and threw that thing on here. Ran down the steps. Jumped here behind this microphone, this video camera. Welcome, join us. You know, we don't have a sense of urgency. I wish I knew. See, Coach, what are you talking about? I don't know what I'm talking about. There's no urgency. Before I get too deep into it, you know me, stream of consciousness. I always want to share with you what's on my mind, and there's no urgency, man. I'll get to some of that. Calm myself down here a little bit. Hey, listen, do me a favor. Go to the video page, Sheldon. Folks, listen. Some of you aren't even aware of it. I appreciate all of you who send me videos. I look at them. Some I put up, some I don't put up. I'm getting overwhelmed with it, thank God. And, you know, videos are really, really important, not only for you to watch, but because they're a great vehicle for you to share with somebody else. And rather than you trying to tell somebody what's going on, just share the video. Let the video say, hey, listen, I don't know what to think, but here, brother, look at this. Tell me what you think and ask their opinion. And Jared's been really, really faithful. We're working really, really hard. Every time I get what I appear to be a good video, we stick it up on there. I put up, there's three of them, four of them I think I put up today. The one of the Patriot Nurse, I may even get around and play a little bit of that today. And then the Plandemic, they've pulled that one, the fourth one over there, Connor or Sheldon, if you can click on the fourth one over there. They've pulled that sucker down already. I don't even think you can find it on the internet. And again, one of the good things about our platform here is Jared locks these things down, so it's not gonna disappear. This is about a half hour. Here's what I was thinking about when I got up this morning. And I'm gonna. Who do you get your information from? Let me pause right there. I want to open up the microphone here a minute. Who do you get your information from? Other than me, I understand somebody said, Coach, I get a lot from you. Who do you get your information from? I'm going to pause here. I want to hear. Because, you know, hey, Sheldon, get Psalm 1 ready for me, please. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Anybody want to tell me who you get your information from?
I think Hagman's pretty good.
Pardon me?
I think Hagman's pretty good.
Doug Hagman's good?
Steve Quayle.
Quayle? Hey, let me stop a minute, because I didn't ask the question right. Those guys are truth detectors. They're truth detectors. I'm talking about in the course of a day. If you were to turn on your radio, who might you come across that's going to tell you the truth? Can anybody name somebody? They're going to tell you a story, not the story. They're not going to tell you both sides of the story. They're going to give you one perspective on the story. Maybe I need to help you here. Say, well, you turn on Rush Limbaugh, Mike Gallagher, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity,
Tucker,
Greg Hunter.
Pardon me?
Greg Hunter.
Well, see, let's pull him off again, because I'm talking about mainstream, Joseph. I get a lot of stuff from Greg Hunter. Greg Hunter's good. Mainstream. Who else? Who else are we getting it from? The Five? You getting it from The Five? Where are we getting our information? One of the things we have to be very, very concerned with, all of us, I am anyway, is what they call controlled opposition. I made some people mad that, I don't know, it was a couple months ago, I was speaking at a Saturday morning breakfast, and I stood up and I lambasted Rush Limbaugh because Rush has led nothing. He has led nothing. He's a great play-by-play announcer, color commentary. He can tell you everything that's going on. But see, nobody has, Glenn Beck, nobody has stepped out and tried to leave any type of pushback, organized resistance. Nobody. Now, Glenn Beck did a couple things. Remember, he had that march in Washington, D.C., and then all of a sudden, something happened with Glenn Beck. He went south for a while. Seemed to be crawling back a little bit. But why are these guys that we're all getting our information from, why are they not organizing us? Folks, we are in. Do you guys really think that America's going back to the way that it was? I saw yesterday there are right now currently 30 states that are broke. 30. Just right here yesterday, our governor, who's put us in lockdown for however long it's been, our governor came out and said yesterday that we're going to have $500 million in cuts, I think. We're going to cut from the schools. You know how the game's played, right? Going to cut from – well, why do we have a shortfall? Well, we have a shortfall because you shut us down. That's why we have a shortfall. But it doesn't matter. Cities are running out of money, folks. They're running out of money. If we all start working tomorrow, how long is it going to take for that money to – you understand the significance of it? Do you understand why do we not have an urgency? I got Psalm 1 up here on the – I think a good place to start.
Coach.
Yes.
The reason that Rush Limbaugh and company do not do anything – is precisely because of their support and advertisers. They will mm-hmm. lose it all.
Right, right.
Well, you know, there is one event or one movement that Rush Limbaugh did lead, and successfully so, and that was Operation Chaos during the Democrat primaries of the states that had open primaries in 2016. He told the Republicans, you know, your Republican candidates are safe. Says you go over there since it's open state. You go in there and you vote in that Democrat primary and you screw it all up. And that worked.
It shows the power, doesn't it, Larry?
Yeah.
It shows the power. If one of these guys would grab the bull by the horns, what if Rush Limbaugh stood up and said, hey, vote them all out? What if Hannity and Rush and Beck and all of them said to everybody, listen, vote them all out. Even the good ones, vote them all out. Let's start over. Would we be able to do that? See, I think we would be able to do that. But why are we doing that? Why is that not happening? Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I want you to pause right there a second and understand that our entire government is led by the counsel of the ungodly, the entire government. Starting at Ruth Bader Ginsburg's in the hospital again, 87 years old. Are you kidding me? 87 years old? She's 87 years old and still sitting on the Supreme Court. 87? That's like 3 years from 90. That's 13 years from 100. And she's still walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, and if you're watching Rush, I'm not picking any of them out. If you're watching Rush and Sean and watching these guys, folks, understand this. They are not walking in the counsel of Christ. They're not doing it. They're walking in the counsel of conservatism. Conservatism is pretend salt. That's why I got intolerant on. It's pretend salt. We are being led by pretend salt. Jesus said, blessed is a man that doesn't walk by those guys. Don't walk, don't do that. And he shall be who? The man who walks in the law of the Lord, meditates on it day and night. That man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. See, we're supposed to be bearing fruit. We are. When? In our season. And we don't all have the same season necessarily. But when it's your time to bloom, you're supposed to be blooming. Are we? No, we're supposed to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth my fruit in my season. And my leaf also is not going to wither. And whatsoever I put my hand to, it's going to prosper. What? If I'm walking in the counsel of godly men, not ungodly men. And we are everywhere you look being programmed by ungodly men, or dare I say it, godly men with ungodly counsel. Maybe I can make that separation. Maybe I can. Therefore, I'm sorry, verse 4. But the ungodly are not so. And who are the ungodly? You see them everywhere you look. You turn on the TV, they're everywhere. Turn on. They're everywhere. Ungodly men. Ungodly men. And it said, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly. But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. See, the ungodly were never supposed to be in positions of authority. And we're so stupid, we go Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. We box everybody in. I am not a conservative. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. In other words, they ain't going to make it through. They're not going to. Nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. The sinners should not be able to come into your church and feel, and they should not be able to come into your church. The sinners should not be able to come into your church and be able to take it. Because the truth should be so powerful, the Holy Spirit so strong, they can't take it. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Is your church a congregation of the righteous? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And by the way, all of us who are following the ungodly, the path that they've laid out for us. You see, where are you going, Coach? I'm going to this. What's our plan? Wait a minute. What's your plan? Are you seriously and actively chumming for others? Are you finding those around you who get it and understand? If it's just two of you, are you two guys making a plan together for when the reality hits that the states are out of money? When the reality comes down, I'm not trying to scare you, that your pension, the pension fund is broke. Hey, just Google. Hey, Sheldon. Pull up cities and states that are broke. Pull that up. Do you think it's going to? We just printed $2 trillion in this last bailout, and they're going to do another. They're going to do another one. Now, when was this written here? This is 4/24. 4/20. That's like last week. State and local governments are going broke. Now, when we come out of this, what are they going to do? Oh, they'll raise our taxes. Not only that, you know what's going to happen? The government is going to bail out California. California's been giving all their money to illegals and doing all that stuff. They've been giving all that money. Now they're broke, and they're going to come to me and want me to bail them out. Same thing in New York. Same thing in Chicago. We are seeing, I'm telling you, friends, we are going to begin to see the shattering of the United States as we see it. They don't have any money. They're out of money. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, just going to say, this is why they're trying to continuously prop up the stock market, because all of these states, their pensions, their annuities, and all those things are tied to the stock market. They're all invested in that. And so in order to keep those states from going totally broke at this point.
They are broke.
That's what that stock market is artificially inflated.
They are broke, Chad. Yes, they are broke. 24.
That's right.
Do you realize right now, folks, there's 40 million unemployed? 40 million people unemployed now. What do you think that our governor, when he announced yesterday that they were going to make some cutbacks, it was like he was surprised that, they were running out of money. They don't have money to open the schools. They don't know. They're not going to have money to pay police officers. They're not going to have the money. And I don't know what you guys see, but in downtown Columbus, which is about 35 minutes from here, there are thousands and thousands of people working for the state doing meaningless jobs. And folks, that money ain't going to be there. It ain't going to be there. So say, Coach, what is it you're saying? Here's what I'm saying. Are we planning? Are you guys have a plan? I have a plan. We laugh. Wendy's, which is Wendy's International, Columbus, Ohio, Dublin, Ohio. Wendy's is a local company, worldwide local company. Wendy's yesterday put signs out, they're out of beef. Where's the beef? I didn't at Wendy's. Not at Wendy's. You notice McDonald's didn't run out of it because they're probably serving up cats or dogs. In my opinion, it's a joke, right? Wendy's, who says their beef is fresh, Wendy's is out of beef. Where's the beef?
Well, just to set things straight there, McDonald's owns its own cattle herds and Wendy's doesn't.
Okay. Anyway, the supply chain's broken. Can you go to your local?
You froze up
yesterday. Right. So are we folks, as we sit here, see, the Bible says that a wise man sees calamity and prepares for it. Are we prepared for it? Or better yet, what does that even look like if we would be prepared for it? Now, we started talking about shortwave radios and all this kind of stuff. I just got to say this. Some of us got to grab the bull by the horns. We got to get this stuff done. Because two things that have gone on, one that's really, really, I think ought to be of grave concern. And I made mention of this last week. Michael Flynn, that whole thing's about to bust open. The whole Michael Flynn, what do they call that? Russiagate. That whole thing is about to bust wide open. And so what's going to happen when that thing busts wide open, we're going to be able to see the manipulation of the ungodly, the Psalm 1 people, and their willingness at some point to turn on each other. And we're going to be able to begin to see the protected class. Folks, there's not good stuff that's coming. The Lord said there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. All of that stuff's going to be, and they know it, see. They know it. So they say that the pandemic or the plandemic was done for whatever. No, I believe the plandemic was done because this whole cabal is going to fall apart right in front of us. And I'm not here to say that President Trump and Bill Barr is going to go arrest 1,000 people. I don't think that's it, but I think boom. And so because we're so media manipulated, folks, the people on our team, our top five, our leadoff hitter, Michael Savage, followed by the two-hole hitter, Glenn Beck, followed by the three-hole hitter, Mike Gallagher, by the cleanup hitter, Rush Limbaugh, by Steve Dace. We can throw them all in there. Ain't none of them preparing you for anything. Are there no leaders anywhere that are saying to the American people, here's what's going on? You say, Coach, if they told us the truth, we would panic. Well, maybe they need to tell us the truth. Here's what's happened. Get prepared. Because when it all of a sudden begins to happen, there ain't going to be any time to get prepared.
Hey, Coach,
I think I'm crazy? Come on in.
No, you use the baseball analogy, so excuse my demeanor here. You use the baseball analogy with those guys. The problem is there's no balls on that field.
Tucker Carlson. Well, he sure says the good things. Has he organized anything? Has anybody seen any pushback Tuckers organized other than giving us a play-by-play of what's going on? We watch him and say, boy, it was like, what's that guy's name? Gowdy. Congressman Gowdy. Could sure get him in a, he could sure get those people into a hearing and light them up one side down the other. Couldn't that Trey Gowdy, man, he could really tell them off. Did he ever do anything? He's not even in government anymore. So we've got to understand, we've got to begin to be by looking around and see that we are in, we've been here before. We've been here before. But here's the good thing. We've never Christ.
You keep locking up, Coach.
We're not organized. I don't know why, Baca. We're not organized. I'm going to shut up. Folks, our cities and states are right. If you have a pension, good luck.
Yeah. We're on the verge of anarchy.
And I think
we're on the verge. Who said that? Because I believe that to be true. We're on the verge of anarchy.
I believe so, and I believe that's why, as we say, all politics are local. So isn't this idea of having a plan. Now, listen, Coach, I'm in touch with you, but, brother, things were going to go down. You're in Ohio. You know, I'm not going to get in my car and go. My plan has to be local. Do I know who my neighbors are? I'm telling you, I got some real good neighbors that I've known for a while, some of them, but some of them I have gotten to know, and I'm like, this one guy, two doors down, man, ex-Marine guy. Let me tell you what, I'm like, I want that guy in my foxhole. You understand what I'm saying? So the plan has to be local also. As for the trillions of dollars, we have used the analogy, we're kicking the can down the road. Brother, this is a 55-gallon drum full of concrete. It's not moving.
No, we're just kicking. there ain't no down the road on that. Hey, do me a favor, Sheldon. I just sent you a standalone video of Doug Hagman. Pull Doug Hagman up. Doug Hagman is—he's one of the unsung heroes in America, in my not so humble opinion. And hey, I was watching Doug last night. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Dale, you are so correct. We first of all have to be prepared individually as households to sustain ourselves. Then we have to be prepared to work with our known and trusted neighbors. And we've got to be prepared to do it without using electronic communications, because that's just going to be broadcasting your plans to the enemy.
Yeah, we've got to be careful with it for sure. I got that. I just want to show you just a couple minutes of Doug Hagman yesterday. It started about the 1 minute mark. Let's get through all the opening of the show and everything. And I tune in Doug every night because I know that if he had the wherewithal, the ability to organize it, he would do it. I know he would. And see, the problem that Doug Hagman has is the same problem Coach Dave has. We are alternative media. Now, I said this to my wife the other day. I feel like what I'm saying is so right on. Yet I feel like there's a big... What do they call that? There's a big lid over me. That I say it echoes and doesn't get any higher than the lid. You're gonna, Lord, I'm speaking truth here to Christians. Lord, when are you gonna open that door? And I think Doug feels the same way. And the people they have on, we see calamity coming. Go ahead and play a couple minutes of this.
We've crossed we've crossed a line into a tyrannical state here in the United States. Now, to my Canadian friends, obviously, you've got your own issues very much like that, and I'm sure that there will be many detractors, especially from Canada, saying, this isn't tyranny, this is just common sense. I beg to differ. And I would suspect that our founding fathers would beg to differ. You know what I'm talking about. The response to this alleged pandemic, plandemic. Look, the virus is real. I understand that. We've gone over and over and over this so many times. but stick with me because I'm tying a lot of loose ends together. This goes back to, actually goes back to 2014. It goes back to the events, the activities of people like Bill Gates. It goes back to the activities of people like Barack Hussein Obama and others. Okay, this has been politicized and weaponized. The response has, that is, and so stick with me. But I would encourage everyone to be like our founding fathers, because the courageous men who signed the Declaration of Independence knew that they were possibly signing their own death warrants. Now, that didn't turn out to be the case, because there is power in numbers, as we know, and we have them, the opposition, by the numbers. We have, there's more of us than there are of them. The King of England at that time and his officials in the colonies considered what they did as an act of terrorism punishable by death. Now, what happened to these brave men who were willing to risk everything to give us the freedoms we have today? What happened to them? There was a book published in 1848, B.J. Lossing, published biographical sketches of the signers of the Declaration of American Independence. Now, in this book, he revealed that although most of the Declaration's signatories survived the war and went on to live productive lives, a great number of them lost everything, including their wives and children. Are you willing to risk everything? And some of you are risking everything. Some of you have lost your families. Some of you are, by speaking up, have alienated yourselves from your families. Richard Stockton of New Jersey, for example, was a wealthy landowner who was elected to the Continental Congress back in 1776. Stockton had to flee from his estate with his wife and children to avoid being captured by the British, but he was betrayed by a British loyalist. There are sleepers within our ranks. And by ranks, I'm talking about the new media. The book goes on to talk about the courage of our founding fathers.
Sheldon. Point being, Doug asked the questions. Why good people? I think we're there. I think we're there. And I feel an urgency. I wish I knew how to put a plan together. I'd put one together. I said to my wife, I said, maybe I ought to go. Get not hang, not kill myself. Maybe I'd have, I don't know. What can I do to draw attention, to rally people? What can I do? See, folks, you have to understand how much controlled opposition there is within our own ranks is the point that Doug's making. Point hey, Doug's making. Hang on just a second. And I want to make an appeal also to how do I say this in a nice way? Some of you used to be with us. You're not with it. We need everybody in this battle, man. Wake up over factions and over theology and over whatever. We need everybody in this battle. We outnumber them, as Doug said, just on the numbers. We win on the numbers. But there's no organization to it. I see it every time I go to one of those rallies. Come on in. Was that, I don't know, who was that, Joe?
Yes. That Coach, I don't know why, but you keep breaking up like you broke up right now. You broke up for a second. And I'm not sure what's causing that. But a lot of the stuff you're talking about ain't getting out today. I don't know what the deal is. So I just letting you know.
Okay. What do I need to do here? Hang on a second. Here's what I'm going to do. Jared, would it help if I rebooted? Yes. Yeah. I'm going to.
Sounds like bandwidth,
Jared. Ms. Prager. I'm going to pull a real quickie here. Go ahead, play it. Yep. It says, I put it in the stuff today. Daily Wire, Prager, address rehearsal. No. It's in the stuff I sent you. It's in the stuff I sent you. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Yeah, I thought that video's in there. No, daggone me. Hey, play the Patriot Nurse. Play
her. Restart your router too, Coach. Restart your router.
I'm going to do it right now. Play her.
going on with our economy and also what's happening in the healthcare world. Check, y'all. There are no solutions in life, only trade-offs. No solutions in life, only trade-offs. Thomas Sowell, Conflict of Visions. It's the truth. The trade-off that we have made by bringing our economy to a halt in hopes of staving off the boogeyman has yielded 25%, one out of four people being unemployed right now. People in lines for miles waiting at food banks and bread lines, to bring you back to the Great Depression picture, to try and feed their family because they have been deemed unessential, non-essential, not important enough. Cocktail hour, Ivy League, ivory-towered academics in D.C. and in capital cities have deemed your children less important to feed than their own. I call BS. The data, I'm sorry, does not support further lockdown and further abrogation isn't the right word, further egregious violation of people's rights. In the United States, as a representative constitutional republic, we are guaranteed rights, rights that came to us from our creator, which are enumerated in our founding documents, including the Bill of Rights. We don't get rights because a bunch of men sat around a table and wrote them down on a piece of paper. Even they said that themselves. Even they said that themselves. These rights that we have are given to us by God. And right now, a bunch of petulant school marm want to be superior intellectuals in D.C., the Beltway, and in our capital cities are trying to tell us that we need to bite one off, take one for the team, and just let our families shrivel up and die so that way we can ensure the greater good. Mm-mm, not buying it. So sorry. No, you don't ensure the greater good by violating the rights of the individuals en masse. And when you consider that we do not deprive people of life, liberty, and property in this country without due process, and we have had people effectively, what, 300 million people under house arrest here, depriving them of liberty, I would call that a very, very big problem. The type of problem that led to this country being born in the first place, which is when, after repeated requests for redress of grievances, your government is still violating your most basic of rights. That is the duty at that point of the people to revolt. And so we are seeing this right now. We are seeing all over the country in capitals, all from Michigan. Mad props to you guys in Michigan. You are bringing it to them every bit of what they deserve. Michigan, Indiana, North Carolina, I think today, all over the country, people are standing up and saying, enough is enough. All right. We're not going to destroy our economy further. Guys, the last time I checked, one out of four people are unemployed. That's 25%? I mean, I may be no child left behind or whatever, but one out of four people not being able to work. Let's put this in proper perspective. Not being permitted to work. That's somehow supposed to be guarding the greater good? Absolutely not. You don't save your neighbor's house by setting your own on fire. And that's what we're doing. So I am all for bringing things back online. Oh, there's going to be a second wave. Mm-hmm. And a third. But you know what? The entire narrative from the beginning was that we needed weeks to prepare for the surge and that we needed to flatten the curve. Guess what? We flattened it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean, like, we don't flatten curves, plural. The entire thing was that this is a new novel VI. This is a new big V thing. You've got to be careful now because YouTube, but they're all a little censor thing. We have to be very focused now on flattening the curve so that way we don't overwhelm the system with this new and novel threat, right? And we need to make sure we bring all our resources online to being able to combat it. But like we said, there are no solutions in life, only trade-offs. The trade-off with doing this is that people who wanted and needed and who could pay for things like knee replacements, hip replacements, major surgeries that were essential to their quality of life, those people right now, their needs have been deemed non-essential also. So you can't say that you're somehow some angel of healthcare working if you are the one who is, oh, we need to keep everything shut down. No. That's not how this works. All patients are equal. Some patients are more equal than others. What is it? So now you're novel babies, the novel V babies, they're the ones that are more important than somebody who needs a surgery to decrease the agony and the pain that they're living in every day from having bones just sitting on each other like that. I worked total hips and total knees for a while, guys. People are in serious pain before those surgeries and after, but that's why you try and do what you do. Anyway, friends, we're getting to a point right now. Well, we cannot politely ask. We cannot politely request for our rights to be restored to us. We have to demand that they be restored to us immediately. The longer that this goes on, the more they're going to try and wrap, and put more preconditions. Like, here, take your microchip before you're safe to go back into public. Here, get your blood drawn and get this little prick, get this little test so that way we can make sure you're safe enough to go earn a living. I'm sorry, but I would call that an undue burden. If you are so afraid about this thing that you don't want to go out of the house, or forget fear, if you make a decision in your mind based on your own understanding of the facts in front of you that it is not in your best interest, nor would it be in the fiduciary interest of your family members for you to go out, that's fine. More power to you. Stay home. But there is no reason whatsoever why you should have the ability, right, or authority to reach across the road to your neighbor's table, take food off of their tables because you're afraid of going outside. Sorry. Nope. We need to be able to move with authority, with agency, with self-governance at this point. We are adults here. See this white hair? Yep, it's white. Patriot Nurse has got white hair now. When I see that white hair in the mirror, there's part of me that's like, maybe I should dye it. And then the other part's like, oh no, this right here says I don't take BS from anybody anymore. White hair equals adulting time. So it's time to adult, y'all. It's time to be free, thinking human beings that take ownership, authority, and agency for their own responsibilities and for taking care of their families. And we don't do that by sitting home and binge-watching things. We do that by taking a stand. Thank God Tennessee and Georgia are on the forefront and opening things back up. Governor Lee, thank you very much. Can we please get the constitutional carry bill now? In parts of the country where you are essentially battling entrenched leftism, we're going to have to take a more vocal stance, I think, on securing our rights, because this is not in any way, shape, or form compatible with the founding vision of this country. This is not why my family came over, fought, bled, and died, so that we could sit at home and binge watch Netflix and be told what a good, good slave we are. Mm-mm. Fasting and praying, guys. Fasting and praying on Thursdays. I have made this point before, and I will make it again. There is no way that we can wrap our head around what it means to have natural born rights, unless we get a clue where our founding fathers got these ideas. And no, they were not agnostic people, and no, they were not deists. If you read what they wrote in the Federalist Papers, in the debates on the Constitution, in the Anti-Federalist Papers, when you read what they said, they all recognized that their rights didn't come from them sitting around a table and writing things up on a piece of paper. Our rights came to us because we were created in the image of God, and He gave to us the rights that we have with the fingerprints of the Almighty. Every little ridge of His fingerprints is our rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Nobody has the right to take that from us. And absolutely no government has the right to strip 300 million people of their rights without due process, which is what's happening. Friends, fasting and praying on Thursdays for this nation and for a proper completion to these issues. That's what I have been led to do. And I hope that y'all will continue to join me for that. If we are going to have the strength and the power and the authority and the agency to move forward from here, we have to know where our rights came from. And they are not doled out to us like treats or like scraps from a master's table. Mm-mm. Nope. They came to us from God. And it's up to us to defend those rights. And it's up to us to safeguard them and to move forward in the future with them secured for our children. I hope it was helpful for y'all today. If you did enjoy the video, I hope you'll subscribe to me here on YouTube.
You set that down, Sheldon. Hopefully I'm back okay and up and running. I don't know what's going on. So listen, here's the point of the Patriot Nurse there and the question that I seem to be asking like every morning when I come in here. If Christians don't stand up for Christian values, if Christians don't stand up for godly values, if Christians don't stand up and say to the government, sorry, but our rights are inalienable, our rights are God-granted rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If Christians don't stand up and do that, who is going to do it? Do you think that Donald Trump's just going to give them to us? Do you think that Hillary, if she gets in, she's just going to give them to us? Do you think voting conservatives going to get them for us? You think voting Republicans going to get them for us? You think Limbaugh's going to give them to you? You think Michael Savage is going to all of a sudden reach down? You think Tucker Carlson's going to lay his neck on the line? Do you think Mike Gallagher, is he all of a sudden going to lead? Is Glenn Beck going to lead a revolution? Well, we know the answer to that, right?
No.
No. No. And what's going to happen? We're going to be so deeply entangled with chains over us, we're not even going to be able to communicate with each other. I have to get on a horse and ride up to Mount Vernon and see Jeff. I don't even have a horse. I have to go buy one. I can probably be buying the horse because we'll probably be eating it. And why Christians can't understand and get an urgency. So like I was talking to somebody the other day, said, oh, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Oh, Lord. I don't want to hear it. I'm just kind of on a rant here. I don't even know where the show's gone. Sorry about the bad. I'm sorry about the fact I was breaking up. I don't know what that was all about.
Somebody, hey, Coach?
Come on in. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah. You know, the sad thing is that very, very, very early on in the news about what was happening in Wuhan, China and everything, there were some voices on the internet that were giving what information that was coming out and making reasonable assumptions and reasonable conclusions from it. And they were calling for governments to explain to the people, not dictate, but to explain to the people the need for not spreading this virus too fast, that it overwhelms the hospitals, but keep it. Find the balance between the spread of the virus and keeping the economy alive, et cetera, et cetera. There were people saying those things from the very beginning. I started following them on the 20th of January, two people in particular. And those people are now saying they were right. They have been right at every point as what's happened along this trail. And what they're saying now is a lot like what the nurse said. They're saying that, you know, the exit strategy has got to be finding those people who have the disease, isolate them until they're no longer infectious, quarantine the people they've been in contact with since they've known they've had the disease, and make sure they don't have it so you can isolate them if they do, and then, you know, targeted shutdown is the only logical exit strategy. This blanket shutdown from the top down is not a good strategy, but a targeted shutdown on the people that are there in the middle of the episode of having coronavirus or whatever, that makes sense.
Well, it is a good strategy if you want to shut down the country and you want to bankrupt it and all this other stuff. You want to cause more anarchy. It's a good strategy.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, somewhere along the line, I wrote this in last week's commentary. Most people didn't get it. Somewhere, government went from being a verb to a noun. Government's a verb. It's a verb. The government, John Adams said that the Constitution is written for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Government, self-government, government is a verb. And we've turned it into a noun, the government. And so we have, as we watched the video yesterday, we have armed guards standing and protecting the government from the people. We have a serious, serious issue. And it's the virus, as real as it might be, if it kills 100,000 of us, the virus is a vehicle to other things. And why the church can't understand that and see how this whole thing is developing, folks, do you think that come September, they're going to say, whoops, here it comes again. Here comes that virus again. Let's lock her down again, boys. And will we fall in line and do it again? We've already shown we will. And can I tell you what the problem is? Oh, Lord, do I have to say that? There's no resistance from the Christian church. Absolutely no resistance. None. Because why? Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, they tell us that we can't let people die. So they try to make us live up to our own standards. We're supposed to be caring about the individual, and we do care about the individual. But somebody help me out here. When we stormed Normandy Beach, didn't you suppose Eisenhower and Patton and those guys that planned the storming of Omaha Beach, Normandy Beach, do you think they thought maybe they're going to lose some people? You think maybe they thought, you know what, guys, it's going to cost us a lot of guys. Maybe we shouldn't do it. So here we are again saying, boy, it's coronavirus. It's going to cost us a lot of people. We need to shut it down. It's going to cost us a lot of people. And then some of us stand up and say, whoa. It's going to damage other people too. We don't want to lose anybody, but we're going to lose people one way or another. Are we going to sacrifice our liberties? Bunch of crosses over there in Europe. Guys who somebody else told them they had to sacrifice. Somebody else told them they had to die so that everybody else could live. Sometimes those are the choices you get with liberty, folks. Now, listen. I want to gather this back again. I'm trying to create in us an urgency to understand that we have got to get where you are. You've got to become more bold. You've got to become. Listen, I went to the State House. You know what else? On my Facebook page. I'm starting to get comments on my Facebook page from people I never would have believed are following. Never would have believed. And all of a sudden, these are people that shock me. And they're sending me videos. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? There's an awakening going on, folks. There's an awakening. But it's a very short window. I'll shut up for a minute.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. This is JR.
Hey,
You started to show off by asking where we get our information.
Yeah.
And I think that's helpful, but I think the problem we're having is how we process that information.
Good point.
And some of us have Apples, some of us have IBM. You can hear it in the show this morning. You can take a certain piece of information and you can come up with a different conclusion.
It's true.
I think that's the biggest problem. One of the biggest problems we're having is the processing of the information.
I would agree with that. Plus the application of the information. I think that's just as difficult. What do I do with what?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, yeah. There's not very much critical thinking also implied on some information. You know, weighing it down. There's no discernment. You know, I was saying it's generally, and that's what we need to do. We have to get the information. Okay, but again, it's analysis by paralysis by analysis, right? That was that big old head you drew on the stick figure. How much information do you have to have before we're going to do something? How much do you need to know? At what point do you go, you know what, Harold, he's right.
And you know what, Chad, to say, you know, well, we're going to bankrupt the nation. We're so stinking bankrupt, you know. It's insane. I mean, this is a beyond thing. And of course, I don't want anarchy because you then have immoral people with guns also.
Right.
That's right.
But again, see, from my perspective, the point I hope I always land on the same landing pad. The salt's lost its savor. This has all happened because there's no clear voice of truth in the church.
What happens to that salt, Coach, after it's lost its saltiness? What happens?
Yep. Becomes good for nothing except to be trodden, cast out, trodden under the foot of men. They're walking all over truth. Folks, listen. Let's say it's not even a salvation issue. Let's say it's not even about going to heaven and hell. Let's just eliminate that from our thought process. Why in the name of everything that's holy and righteous won't Christians just stand up for truth? Why won't they just stand up for what they believe to be the truth? Why don't we do that? Take heaven and hell out of the picture. No, you're not going to teach my daughter that she can be a boy. No. Why? What is it, folks? What is it? How have we been so programmed that we let the left tell us everything to think?
You hit the nail on the head. They have been programmed.
Yes. And our attempts to try to counter program with truth keep running into roadblocks, many of them on our own team.
You know, Dave, about a week or so ago, for some reason, I had more hope. You know what I'm saying? I was feeling a little better. I felt we were going to come out of this thing, regardless of stupidity or whatever. But the last couple of days, we've been hit with, again, what we all knew was coming, was the financial side of this thing. Mm-hmm. And that's the one I don't know that we can come out of without wholesale collapse. I don't mean to be a pessimist, but that's the one that's caught my attention the last couple of days is, and now in the state of Ohio, this lack of money and this idea that the government can bail us out by printing. And that now has put my perspective back again at, we got real difficult times ahead.
Yeah. So Roger, while they've been feeding us the virus, all of this other transgential, is that right word? All of this stuff that runs along beneath it, all of it's been put in place. And see, we don't understand that when Rahm Emanuel said publicly, never let a crisis go to waste, we don't understand they meant that. They meant it. And that they have an agenda, see? Can I ask you something? Can somebody tell me the agenda of the church? What's the agenda of the church? Hey, Roger, what's the agenda of the church? There you go. What's the agenda?
I have an answer.
Go ahead.
Got a better one.
the answer for the church is exactly what Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste, never let a good excuse go to waste.
Amen. Right?
Dave, to answer that from a different perspective, oh, I always like Dale's comments. I don't know that. I think they think they're going to just go back to doing things normal in 4 or 5 months. I think they believe that the normal's coming back. And in 4 or 5 months, we'll be normal again, whatever that means. I don't think we're ever coming back to normal.
Roger, let's say we are coming back to normal. What is the agenda of the church? Get people saved? They're not even doing that, are they?
To get more people in the church. That's the goal.
Get more people to come hear the gospel Jeff? Message.
Yeah, I guess. Go, Jeff.
There are so many things that need to be discussed and talked about. It's shocking that people who we've elected seem not to have thought this through. Do they understand how companies now are going to deal? Half the workforce is going to be working at home in a year forever.
Yep, forever.
And the commercial retail space that's out there, which has been overbuilt, is going to be empty.
This is. Amen. Okay. So, are we planning for this? Go ahead. Jeff's trying to get in there. Go ahead, Jeff and then Alan. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, you reminded me of the Communist goals, the speech given in 1963. It says to infiltrate the churches from revealing Jesus to socialism.
Mm-hmm. Well, amen. We're there. Alan?
Yeah, Coach. One of my good friends, he's in Church of God. He sent me an email they got yesterday. They shall be no more laying on of hands, period, at the altar. No more from the Church of God.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You know, it's been, you know, what's one of the answers for what's the plan or what's the agenda of the church, and that's to preach the gospel. The unfortunate truth is that they have no idea of what the gospel is that they're preaching, because they're not preaching what Jesus taught to be preached.
Amen, Larry. And so we, I don't know where it is where you guys are. We have this lady, Amy Acton, Dr. Amy Acton, who's given all the directions and from a health perspective here in the state of Ohio. And she comes every day wearing a lab coat.
Hey, Coach, you want to see a real hero?
Yeah.
No, stop. Don't even. No.
Okay. Hold on. There's a real hero right there, Coach.
Another girl, Michelle. God bless you. So Amy Acton shows up in a lab coat. She's got to be in uniform, right? A lab coat? I'm supposed to believe her because she's wearing a lab coat? Really? But it's all part of the mind control, right? Why would you question her? She's got a lab coat on. You're like talking to a football player out of uniform, right? You want to talk to him when the sweat's still rolling down their face. She's got on a lab coat.
Dave.
Yep.
You know who else wears a lab coat? People that develop film. Okay. So that's right. It's just perception. And if they had to come up with these studio props to get you to believe their information, then we need to be critical of the information and be thinking.
Amen. Amen. So
look what Obama did when he was pushing his Obama health care and had all those lab coats sitting out on the White House lawn.
Right. So listen, here's the way I see it. If the rapture isn't coming soon, you better buckle up, baby. I don't have good news for you about it. So we've got to get an urgency a year from now. A year from now. What is this? The 6th of April, of May? 6th of May 2021. What's America going to look like? Does anybody have a bead on that? What that's going to be look like? When Roger said those people aren't going to work anymore, they're working from home. Well, maybe the schools aren't in operation because they're still doing school from home. When the whole landscape of America changes, is it possible, really possible, that there could be a beef, pork, food, chicken shortage in America? And if that was true, when will that show up? And is just sitting behind your computer watching YouTube videos, is that getting it done? We need an urgency. We need an urgency.
Hey, Coach, what you've been preaching and saying for years, basically since you started this program, we've got to start taking it to heart and acting on it. And that is finding our brothers and sisters in Christ that we can reach out and touch, that are right next door, that we don't have to communicate with over the internet. We have got to start building that. We have got to start assembling that body that can make the difference when the time comes.
Amen, Larry. And I wonder how many of you right now, I'm sorry, I asked the tough questions here. I wonder if how many of you right now, if you knew that you had to get into a survival mode and you had to make a go of it with 10 families, I wonder how many of you would pick your pastor as one of the 10. And the truth is, in a lot of situations, he'd be a drain. He'd be a drain on the team.
Amen.
We have dire leadership issues, man. I wish I had the answer. But I'm going to tell you that sitting pat and waiting for the stores to open back up, that ain't a plan. Because the real trouble's coming 3 months from now. 3 months from now.
Really, hey, Coach, cool. Have you seen Amir Safartian? You ever watch him at all from Israel, that major? Yeah. Well, yesterday, I don't know if you seen him last night, but he put an urgent thing out. He's friends with, you know, he's friends with all the big high-ups over there in Israel. And he said the aviation director said, no more will you be able to travel out of Israel on a jet with just your regular paperwork, your regular passport. He said, that's not going to happen anymore. So they're going to have to prove that they don't have a virus. How are they going to do that? I don't know. And they got to prove they've had a vaccine, everything. And not only that, he said Netanyahu come out and said yesterday they're going to have to start tracking all their little children with some kind of a gizmo on them to figure out if they've got the flu or not. This thing's getting real, Coach. Getting real, real quick.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Joe.
I was going to say, and I agree with Alan, it's getting real. We have to come up with some kind of plan, either individually, where we're located, that kind of thing. Okay. But we have to teach that this is a life and death situation.
Yes, sir.
And make them understand it.
It is, Joe. I couldn't agree more. There are going to be a lot of people going to die. Yeah, Mark.
I totally agree with what these guys are saying. And I think Roger provided a key to why the church fell and why the church is empty. All right. Roger said that they want, what's the mission of the church? They want to go out, bring people in to share the gospel with them. That isn't how it's supposed to work, Coach.
No.
The people in the church are supposed to know the gospel. In other words, they're supposed to go out and share the gospel. And until those people are saved and turned, they're not allowed in that church. I'll give you a biblical fact. What happened to the unclean when they walked into the temple? What happened to them? They died. They were cast dead by God himself.
Yep.
Does God want the unclean in the body of Christ? Why are the pastors inviting them in? Right? Now, when the church starts back up, who do you think is going to be in the pews? You know, is it going to be the unsaved? The churches have been empty of everyone because we've let the unsaved in the church. It's our job to go out of the church and do the work so that we protect the flock. Right, Coach?
That's right. That's right. That's right. Psalm 1, right? Hey, pull it up. I'm over a couple minutes. Pull it up there real quick if you can for me, Sheldon. Psalm 1, get it back up there. Folks, it's a picture of the church. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way. That means hanging out with the sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law, is there any law in church anymore? Is there any law in church other than don't judge? Is there any law? Is it any wonder that we are the way we are? The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff. Here today, gone tomorrow. And we've brought the chaff into the church. Judgment's upon us. Hey, got to run.
Amen. Huh?
Go ahead, Roger.
All that seeker-sensitive crap.
Yep. That's right. Shallow. Time to buckle up, boys. Great show. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow. Sorry about the internet today.
So they invite them.